Well, congregation, I ask you to open the scriptures to the book of Matthew, where we center upon this Lord's Day, upon one of the Beatitudes of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the blessings that he has given to his covenant people. In context, it is in the narrowest sense the disciples that he's called before them, but in a broader sense, it is all the people that are there. The main audience here is the disciples, but it's also the covenant people, the Jewish people. And it is spoken to us and given to us as God's people this day, that we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're attached to him in covenant faith. I want to be centering upon verse 6 and the beatitude that is there. Here's the reading of God's word from Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, may God bless the reading of his word, this beatitude to our hearts this day. Well, congregation, many tell us that we are what we eat. Many people recognize this in the natural realm, but have failed to see it in the spiritual realm. When the church feeds upon spiritual junk food, it should not be shocked to see all manner of spiritual diseases. No wonder the apostle said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 through 4, "Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." As members of the kingdom of Christ, the Beatitudes of chapter 5 present the believer as who they are, and their character as God's own possession. These blessings are not prescriptions, but descriptions or marks of a true believer who is born again, regenerate, who has a new nature that has been given to them by the Spirit through the Word of God. In other words, in an incredible way, what Jesus is pronouncing by blessing, he is also graciously beginning to pass as kingdom unfolds in the hearts of his people and in the church of Jesus Christ. We ought to notice that there is a progression in our Lord's Beatitudes. Those who are poor in spirit are those who mourn not only their sin, but over the indifference to the gospel in the world. This produces a gentle and meek spirit over against the pride of this world. And so today we deal with the third beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. We want to center on 2 points. First, who? Who are those who hunger and thirst? And then second, the what? What does it mean that they shall be satisfied? So again, the first one is who? Who are those who hunger and thirst? And second, the what? What does it mean they shall be satisfied? Our first question is who? Who are those referenced by the words hunger and thirst? This is an important question because Jesus is asking us today, is it really worth it? Is it worth it to have a distinction to the world around us? To be different, to find our food from God himself, the bread of life? Is it worth it to stay in your marriage or at your job? Is it worth it to see ourselves each and every day in light of the truth of the gospel? Is it worth it? You see, we ask ourselves these kinds of questions every day because to be a genuine Christian means that we are different in our desires and goals in life are different. How does Jesus answer this? Is it worth it issue? The first thing that we notice in this third beatitude is that when Jesus uses the term hunger and thirst, he is not talking about feeling that comes and goes, but a perpetual state of the mind. Both words reflect a longing and yearning that is related to life and death issues. What Jesus is teaching is essential and serious to the very survival of his hearers. It is with regard to the very survival of every Christian. That's what is meant by thirst and hunger. It is reflected in David's words in Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. That's where David finds his thirst quenched and his hunger satisfied. Again, David in Psalm 42:1 writes, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. We see this hunger and thirst in the words of Psalm 61, verse 1. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. It is also important for us to consider the object of our hunger and thirst, which is righteousness. It is a vital word, a very important word, because it points to the goal of hunger and thirst. It is part of answering the question, is it worth it? You see, the reason why this person is hungry and thirsty is because of the sin that has made them hungry and has made them thirsty. That's what sin does to us. To the Christian, to the one who's committed to Jesus Christ, sin is not just simply a mistake that we just push to the side. It buries itself in our inner soul. And the fruit of sin is to make us hungry and thirsty. And Jesus says that that hunger and thirst finds its answer in righteousness. Let us face the facts that way too many Christians today are caught up on the feelings of Christianity, how it can make me feel important, and how it can supply all my desires. This is why so many people get nothing or very little out of a sermon, because their object is themselves, their own desires, their own thoughts, rather than worshiping the true and living God in spirit and in truth. This is why so many people get nothing or very little out of the sermon, because their object is themselves rather than Jesus, who teaches us the scriptures. You see, when you make happiness or personal desire the object of your pursuit or quest in life, it eludes you, and you end up disappointed, empty, and most of all, defenseless. Think of it, for example, in an athlete, just for a moment. Think how an athlete desires to win. And if winning is everything, well, what happens when you lose? Remember the coach for the UCLA Bruins, John Wooden, once said that every game is the same. That's what I teach my basketball players. Every game is the same. You are to do your best. Every game. Every game is the first game. The goal is not to win. The goal is to do your best. Jesus says that the goal is not our self-satisfaction. Matter of fact, it has nothing to do with ourselves. It has everything to do with righteousness. You see, Jesus is confronting the people of his day and us today as well by telling us in the most emphatic terms that righteousness is the direction or driving force behind the satisfaction and hunger and thirst that we all experience. What does Jesus mean by righteousness? Well, consider two points. First, it points to God's character, who is holy and righteous. Everything God does is good, right, and all glorious because he himself is all glorious. We read, for example, in Jeremiah 23, verses 23 through 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. What Jeremiah taught the people of his day, what Jesus taught the people of his day and all the apostles, is that that righteousness that we are to seek is the righteousness that God only possesses in who he is, in knowing him, in loving him, in serving him as the Lord God. Those words in Jeremiah, for in these things I delight. God's delight ought to be our delight. Every Christian must hunger and thirst in true devotion to God, in faithful obedience. The word righteous in relation to God's character means that the Lord God stands by every part of his word in judgment for those who reject it, and in grace and mercy for all those who rest upon the truths of Scripture, particularly the gospel. Well, second, the term righteousness points to every citizen in the kingdom in relation to both imputed and practical righteousness. So righteousness here not only teaches us about who God is as the righteous one that he is, and that to know him is to love him, and to love him is to obey him as the righteous God that he is. But it also points to every citizen of the kingdom in relation to both imputed and practical righteousness. Righteousness is the object of our hunger and thirst because it is imputed to us by God, grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our standing before God as righteous was due to Christ's death, as Romans 3, verse 24 says, that we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And again in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Jesus teaches us that the necessity of life, eternal life, rests upon the Lord by grace alone, through faith alone. We are to hunger and thirst for that righteousness that is given to us on account of Jesus Christ. That my standing before the Lord God, the ability to quench that thirst and that hunger is to be found in a righteous God, but it must be found though also in Christ's righteousness that is imputed to us freely by his grace. That the righteousness that I possess, grounded upon the righteous merits of Jesus Christ in his death and confirmed in his resurrection. But this, of course, congregation, is not the whole story. It may be the foundation, but it's not the whole story, because the grace of God is always twofold in Scripture. Jesus teaches us that every believer is to hunger and thirst also for practical righteousness, or a holiness and devotion in life. This is what Romans 6 is all about. Living the Christian life in devotion, in holy service, as instruments of the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and given to us in our holiness of life. Do you thirst for the righteousness of Christ? Are you hungry for the righteousness of Christ? As one man once said, the righteousness of Christ is that righteousness which God's righteousness righteously requires. But do you also hunger and thirst to serve the Lord God in holy service? This is our reasonable service, as Romans chapter 12, verse 1 tells us. This is the service of all those that we'd offer up our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord God. This is what God has called us to do. Do you hunger and thirst for the kingdom to grow in your heart? You see, this is the power of transformation from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of our Lord. It is the power of God's grace to let not sin therefore reign over your mortal body. It is the power of the Holy Spirit to present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. See, to hunger and thirst means that I hunger and thirst that God would make me an instrument of righteousness in my own life, and that that light that God has given to me would be seen in every aspect of my marriage, in every aspect of my studies, in every aspect of my relationship with my children, in every aspect of my work and ministry. That's what God is asking and demanding, requiring of those who are members of the kingdom. It is not your power, but the power of the Holy Spirit's work in you, as Romans 6 verse 22 through 23 remind us. Now that you've been set free from sin and become slaves to God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is our food and drink. This is our food and drink and our stand against the world. This is what God is doing in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives us this beatitude as a challenge to our independent attitude and disposition. Does it really matter if I trust Christ's righteousness? Does it really matter if I live a holy life fighting and wrestling with my own heart? Does it really matter if the law is my guide and standard rather than my feelings and my friends and my children and my mother or my grandchildren or whatever it may be? Does it really matter whether I'm committed to Christ and to find my thirst and to find my food in and through His will as revealed in Scripture? Does it really matter? Our Lord Jesus says to us, blessed are those who refuse to play the Holy Spirit off the Word of God. Blessed are those who refuse to eat and drink from the sewer of this world. Jesus says, blessed are you who love the solid ground. As the psalmist put it in Psalm 61, verses 2 through 3. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. These are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, secondly and lastly, we have to ask the question, so why are they blessed? Or what are those promised who hunger and thirst for that righteousness? Our Lord tells us clearly, for they shall be satisfied. What does our Lord mean by this promise? How does it apply for us today? We know that the tense is future and the voice is passive. They shall be satisfied. The passive voice reminds us that the source of the action of being satisfied is God, the triune God. In other words, this commitment is given and not earned. The blessing is a gift of grace as he works his will in our life. This is the gospel message, that there is a present reality with a future completion. What our Lord has started, he will most graciously complete in Jesus Christ. He has not left us as orphans. He didn't start the process and say, hey, it's up to you now. No, we believe in effectual grace. And that is what God has started, he will see and complete to the end by his grace and for his glory. You see, our present contentment, comfort, and joy is to rest in Jesus' righteousness imputed to us. What a comforting joy to know that all my sins have been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. We call this justification by faith. But the Christian life does not stop there. For the Lord God also works his righteousness in us by word and spirit to produce good works. We call this progressive sanctification. This is the promise of God to every believer in the gospel. This is our ongoing rest. This is our satisfaction that we are righteous on account of Christ, in which the Holy Spirit bears witness to our conscience, purifies our conscience in the truth of the gospel. This is the work of God in this life. It's also a continual, the quenching of our hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because our conscience needs to be constantly reminded over and over again of the message of the gospel. We need to be reminded about the purification for sin. We need to be reminded of our cultivation in holiness, in our prayer life, in attending the means of grace. We need to be reminded that in order to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, we need the means of grace. You cannot get around it. Christian life is about growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need not only the positional justification that comes through our Lord, but it's also about the life of holiness that is so necessary in the life of a true believer. We see here that this contentment is not a one-time deal. We need to learn to be content and find my need in the rivers of life, in the thirst quencher and comforter of the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. You remember when Jesus was going to wash Peter, and Peter said, no, Lord, you've already done that. And you don't need to do that. And Jesus said, no, I know I've washed you. I've bathed you once, but I need to continue to bathe you, Peter. I need to continue to remind you that you're still a sinner and you still need my blood to cover all of your sins. And that each and every day you are to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ in a life that's sanctified from the world, set apart from the world, and yet have a ministry to the world. You need to know that without me, Peter, without me washing you daily, that you'll fall. You won't survive. And that's true of us as well. We need God to daily wash us, to satisfy that thirst and hunger that only comes through Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus taught the woman at the well We too continually drink from the waters of life, the water that only the Lord Jesus can give us by word and spirit. Jesus said, if you drink from the water that he gives, you'll never thirst again. Just like the Apostle Paul, who learned to be content or satisfied in Philippians 4:12, so we look forward to our Sabbath rest in the future. Need to keep cultivating until that day comes our relationship by faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. In a sense, the more you hunger and thirst for righteousness in Jesus, the more and more your heart will be passionately desire and yearn for the sweetness of the gospel. Let us then keep learning and yearning to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's one thing about drinking soda or pop. I've tried to cut down. I have one a month, I think, now. But you know something about pop, which is just part of this whole thing, is you never really find satisfaction in a soda. Have you ever noticed that? You drink one and it just seems like you want to have another one. That's all part of selling the product. You never find contentment. Now, same thing with football. I like football. I think it's great. But it doesn't last long. You waste a couple hours, and guess what? Next week, guess who's playing? What does that tell you? It tells you that the football game that you just watched, the time that you just wasted that time. You never found satisfaction. You got to wait for next week now. But with Jesus, there is contentment. There is a contentment to the yearning that we all desire to have fellowship with God, to be in covenant with God, and to love the Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Congregation, you remember at the beginning I asked the question, is it all worth it? Is it worth it going to church? Is it worth it to have a daily devotion? Is it worth it to have a daily family time of worship? Is it worth it to do your catechism work? Is it worth it to memorize scripture? Is it worth it to teach your children the gospel? Is it worth it to swim against the current of our culture? Is it worth it to believe and adore the crucified one who rose from the dead victorious? Well, our Lord tells the whole world it is worth it because of the sworn promise of Jesus himself. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Do you yearn for the satisfaction that only Jesus can give in the gospel? Do you yearn for that? Are you hungry and thirsty for it? May it be true that we love the Lord and adore him and find our satisfaction in him alone. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, our Lord challenged the people of his day that sin had brought forth a hunger and a thirst, but they could find no quenching of that hunger and thirst. Matter of fact, it got worse. And Jesus says that the hunger and the thirst are to find its quenching, its satisfaction in righteousness. Jesus' righteousness. The righteousness that comes out of our own hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit in a life that demonstrates that we are the people of God. And Jesus promises us, Lord, that we will be satisfied, not fully in this world. We still have to wait for the consummation of all things. And yet, at the same time, there's enough satisfaction by partaking in the means of grace, the ordinary means of grace of preaching and prayer and devotion reading our scriptures and attending the Lord's Supper and the sacraments, and especially to hear the preached word, that there will be a measure of satisfaction there that will give us the ability to keep persevering. Until that day when we enter into the Sabbath rest, Lord, quench our thirst. Quench our thirst in the Lord Jesus Christ and all of his benefits. Lord, satisfy us with the rivers of water. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.